Man, so this session I want to talk on the healing anointing because it's a practical application of what we carry, what Jesus did, and he has sent us to do the same. So I mentioned last night there are a whole lot of ways that you can pray for the sick, so I just want to list them to you, and we'll probably stick around one or two of them. First one is, every believer has an anointing. Every believer has an anointing. And that anointing leads you into truth. It resides with you. It comes to you when you are saved. So it's not the Romans, it's not any other. It's just simply the believer can lay hands on the sick. The believer can do whatever. So believers do carry an anointing. What is the anointing? The ability to impart such as they have. The anointing is another name for Holy Spirit. When people have the anointing, it's God's gift giving that person an ability to do what God has called them to do. So it's a bit beyond what you think you can do. It's God's power upon you to do what he's called you to. So that anointing rests upon you for that purpose. So believer's anointing. There's the work of faith, or the word of faith. And we're going to look at that. The word of faith, and that is the word spoken in faith, has the power to bring change. So faith in itself, there are different kinds of faith. There's a faith for salvation, which causes us to be saved. There is the Romans 10:17, which increases faith. And that way of increasing comes by hearing the word of God. And then there, thirdly, there's the gift of faith, which is not the Romans 10:17. It's not the salvation. It's a gift. It's a powerful gift that functions and flows. Faith causes you to operate in the supernatural. Faith is the doorway to the supernatural. Moving in faith opens the door to the supernatural. To help identify what faith is, Hebrews 11:1 is the perfect definition of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's calling those things that are not as if they are. So faith is now. Now faith is. Hebrews 11:1. Often we say faith is a substance, and we put it into the aspect or the understanding of, I hope it's going to happen. Faith is now. It's what you believe now. You can access and have whatever you want now by faith. Faith calls the impossible possible. Faith operates not in the natural. It brings the supernatural into the natural. It causes miraculous to happen. Causes healing to happen. And of course, we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's looking for that. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without moving and operating and believing and doing stuff in faith, not by what we see, but by what we know in the Word of God, pleases Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. First, you must believe that He exists. And of course, when you're talking to sick people and they're hurting, one of the jobs is to get them to continue to believe that he exists, even when they're going through stuff. Because when people are going through stuff, they say, God, where are you in this? They question God. That's why that's put right in the middle. You must believe that he exists. Getting faith, hold on, I know what you're going through. It's not right, etc. But hang on to faith. The third part of that verse, without faith, it's impossible to believe. Please, him. First, you must believe that he exists. Third part, he rewards those who diligently seek him. So that's the sandwich, bread, meat, bread. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Even no matter what's going on, you continually say, God, you're in this. You didn't cause it, but I trust you. That is how what faith is. It's causing that to be. So, believer's anointing, the word of faith. Next one is laying on of hands. the ability and knowing what you're doing when you're laying hands on the sick people. Laying on of hands does a number of things. Blessings, impartation, the healing power of God, ordinations. There's impartation done when elders are set in by the laying on of hands, etc. The laying on of hands, one of the six Hebrews foundations, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to about 4 or 5, there are six doctrines labeled, talked about, mentioned in those verses, which is repentance from dead works, number one, faith towards God, number two, baptisms, Holy Spirit and water, fourth one, laying on of hands, bang, number five, resurrection of the dead, and number six, eternal judgment, which we touched this morning, eternal judgment. So you need to repent from dead works. Anything that's dead works is anything that you think you can do to work out that you're good enough with God. No, it's by faith. Repent from dead works, faith towards God. They hang together, they're twins. So letting go to get a hold of. Letting go what you have to get a hold of. What you do is you preach faith, because faith will cause you to let go. If you don't know what you're letting go for and what for, why let go? Keep on doing what you're doing. But when you know that there's faith and there's signs and wonders, people say, I want that. So they let go, they forsake their way, repent and come to Him. Okay, so laying on of hands. I put these two together, gifts generally and gifts as mandates, gifts of the Spirit. The 1 Corinthians 12, 9 gifts of the Spirit. So there are general gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, how He manifests Himself. Because the Holy Spirit is who He is. The manifestation is the demonstration of who He is. And so when we say manifestation, He becomes seen, visible. Signs and wonders go into that area. And so there's the general gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest keys, I think, in every person's life is to discover what gift of the Holy Spirit they have. And operate and move in that direction of a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that happens, going back to that scripture I mentioned, 2 Timothy 4, 5, do the work of an evangelist, discover your ministry. So it's not your ministry, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but you discover how the Holy Spirit ministers through you when you save the lost. So often we want to do a checklist to discover what gift we have. Well, you don't know until you go. And so to awaken the Holy Spirit flowing through you, you've got to get into the arena of where the Holy Spirit works. And the arena where He works is where the unsaved are. Because the gifts and the power and things begin to happen in that arena. And so when that happens, you come back. Look what Jesus did. Sent the 12, came back. Sent the 72, they came back. Luke says, gee, Lord, even demons leave when we mention names. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Da-da. Nevertheless, remember your first love. Remember the day you got saved. Remember your first love. So it's not about the gifts and what happens out there with, like the 72 saw. They say, that's amazing ministry. Wow, we love this. He says, hang on. That's not your ministry. Your ministry is Me. Come back to Me. That'll keep on going, but this is your source. That identity. He's more interested in you than what you do. That's why He says, come back to your first love. So how do I get activated in the gifts of the Spirit? Get close to Him. He's the gift giver. Holy Spirit. So there's the gifts in general. There's the gifts that's a mandate. Gifts of the Spirit, but a mandate. That's a little different, I think. Because when you operate in a fivefold gift ministry, you operate at a different level in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Simple illustration. What gifts of the Spirit do you think an apostle operates in? Which of the nine? Perfect. Every one of them. The apostle operates in every one of them. So what gifts were the prophetic or prophet, fivefold gift prophet, not a prophecy or a prophet, but a fivefold prophetic gift ministry? What would they operate in? Pardon? No. Discernment, absolutely. Discerning of spirits. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. All the revelation gifts, all the seeing gifts, revealing, seeing gifts, word of knowledge, the most senior gift. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Those primarily. Because it's seeing prophetically what's to happen. So those are the gifts that he would access to demonstrate what he is and who he is. But at a different level than someone that has a word or sees a picture or has a dream. It's at a different level. Fivefold gift, prophets speak to nations. The prophetic can speak to a church or in a church, and you can do that. But a fivefold is a whole lot of different, an authority, a mandate. Therefore, there's a weightier mantle anointing upon them. So you can see this. So an evangelist, what would he flow in? It's most obvious. Signs and wonders, which are miracles, healing, faith, power gift group. Gift of faith, healing, and power, miracles. That's what he would function in mostly, because that's what he does. He breaks open everything. So you can see the mandate gifts on the person. Okay, so believer's anointing, word of faith, laying on of hands, gifts, general and mandates. Then there is, I would say, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why that? You say, well, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Surely that would be covered by the previous. No, I say anointing of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard or you seen someone say, gee, that guy is really anointed. She is really anointed. What are you saying? You're saying that she functions or he functions in a direction that is above average markedly, because there's the evidence, there's the results. So there's that kind of anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you, which I could also say is a personal anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you that you flow in. What do I mean? I mean this. You're in a meeting, you're ministering, and you know the anointing is there, and what you know you can flow in so easily, you flow in, because you have a personal anointing. It means that you've done this often, you know how it works, you know what happens, and you know how he leads, and so you just simply couple up, engage, and begin to move in that direction. Let me say it this way. John G. Lake was asked a question. How come every time you have a meeting, there's signs and wonders or stuff happens after the meeting? So it's simple. I just move God. I think that's right. I move God, or he moves me. So he says, how can you move God? Who are you to move God? He says, no, well, God's given me a gift, and I know I have a gift of healing. So if I have that gift, it's not mine. I've got to give it away. The more I give away, the more I get. So it's got to be freely receive, freely give. And so what I do is, I know God has already given that to me previously, 10 years ago in prophecy, etc. So if that's happened, then I know I have his permission to do the Great Commission, operating in the channel and the anointing personally of what I'm called to do. So I just step into it, like simply, come. Anyone sick, come here. You're going to get healed. Why? Because the anointing's upon him. He knows it. So you don't need permission to complete and do the Great Commission. It's there. But it takes your faith to step into that and say, God, because every time it's faith, it's not presumption. Don't just jump off the temple and these angels are gods. Don't test the Lord. It's got to be by faith that you do it, knowing that it's the right timing. So is that sensitivity? While I'm on that subject, I learned from these guys that when you sense the anointing lifting, in other words, you're praying for the sick, healing anointing in the place, it's not there, do you stop laying hands on the sick when that happens? Why? Yeah, because you work with the word of God. So you work with the anointing, now you go back to working the word of God. I sent my word and healed, so your faith. Their faith on the word of God will heal them too. So once by anointing, once by that. So the way of ministering healing on the sick is by the anointing and the power of God flowing through you, because you know that's what you can access and what he's been prophesied. Your anointing, your God's ability over your willingness to do. He loves that because he's always looking for someone that he can work through to demonstrate who he is. Because as soon as you do that, you bring him glory. It's not about your ministry. You bring him glory. You bring him what he's done. He celebrates what he has done. It's proof of what he's done through his son. So he wants that to happen through you. So it's not like thinking, so am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? Is this the right time? What happens if it doesn't work? What happens if no one gets healed? It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything that you actually put your foot out there and tried and put your hand out into the fire and shook the snake off. That doubt and unbelief, the venom of sin, you shook it off in the fire and you pursued that. And the whole island, the whole place gets... So it's those things, the anointing. Discover what they are. How do you discover them? What's the prophetic words that have been over your lives in a meeting? What are those prophetic words? Find them, write them down, put them into a sentence in the line of the prophetic word. Make it a prayer and then make it a declaration over your life and then walk in it. Bang. Such as I have, I give. That thing, okay? Corporate anointing, the powerful one, the most powerful of all. Where's that found? Very, very specifically in Luke 5:17. It says here, one day as he was teaching, and some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healings. Very specific words. And I look at that word, perform healings. The power of the Lord was present. The anointing, the glory. So, if you can just draw a line under what you're saying. Three areas. Faith, anointing, glory. Three ways in the supernatural that God moves. Faith. Your faith, the gift of faith, is powerful. You can sense when faith is in a room. You can see faith on people. Acts 14. Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Stand up. Because you could see that Aeneas had faith to be healed. Instant connection. Miraculous gift of faith. Gift of faith. The working of miracles operates by a declaration. Anyway. So faith. Faith. Then there's what I say, anointing. Okay? The anointing is what we've been talking about. The glory is heaven coming to earth. The anointing is like oxygen that's around the earth. Brings life. It's like oxygen. The glory is the atmosphere of heaven coming to earth. It's a different atmosphere. It's his presence. It's absolute, absolute, absolute peace hits earth. When that happens, peace only comes as a result of a victory. It's enforcing what Jesus has done on the cross that comes. When the presence of God, the glory of God comes, as a preacher, as a minister, you step back and you direct traffic where God is. Catherine Kuhlman, watch her DVDs. That's how the glory of God works. She'll preach and suddenly, Father, she'll be talking to him. She doesn't care about 15,000 people out there. She just talks to him. And she says, oh, right over there, there's some, God's doing this and that. He's telling the people, God's doing it. She's directing traffic. Respond to him. Respond to him. That's when the glory comes. So you're not actually laying hands on him. It's the power of God moving. And that's how the glory of God comes. The power of the Lord was present to heal. We could put the power of the Lord was present to prophesy, to save, to bring joy, to heal families. And so you could put those in there. But that's the ultimate. That is actually what revival is when he comes. Because, hey, listen, flesh is not involved. You're there, you could help bring it in basically through worship. It's one of the most powerful atmosphere changes that we have access to. The key, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you do have worship, you sing with all your heart, soul, and strength. When you raise hands, you don't do you. It's all or nothing. When that happens, I'm telling you, change. Now worship him in spirit and truth, spirit with all your heart, and truth, because you're singing the words because you mean them. It's not like a thing that we do because we do that to calm down everybody too. It's everything, everything. So, how does the word work in healing? Hebrews 1. Verse 3. It says that God, and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, speaking of the Father, talking about Jesus, upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds the universes and everything by the word of his power. But there's another translation which also says by the power of his word. Same verse, same explanation. So there you've got two things. By the power of his word. So you've got his word, it's in there. That thing fizzing away, it's waiting to happen. It's the power of his word. But when it talks about the word of his power, it's talking about this, but the one who gave it, the word of his power. Two different scenarios. Word of his power. Power of his word. That's how God operates. So, the power of his word. And of course, as I said, John G. Lake, when he stopped ministering under the anointing, he simply engages in the word of power of his word. And he continues to operate because he sent his word and healed them. So it's different ways of ministering. Okay. So how do you do that? You just do it by understanding and going through practice and knowing what God is doing. You can always land with the power of his word, depending on what you preached. Okay. Get my notes right there. Mark 16. When I discovered this, it just took a lot of pressure off. Mark 16, verse 20. Some Bibles actually don't have that in there. It's amazing. And they went out and preached everywhere. They went out and preached. You go out and you preach. You don't go out and teach. You preach everywhere. While the Lord worked with them, the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. So, let me read it differently. And the Lord worked with them and he confirmed the word by attesting signs and wonders backing up the word. Wow. So, I discovered this. It's not about you. It's not about, brother, you're anointed. Oh, well, no, it's got nothing about you. He confirmed the word. It doesn't confirm you. He'll call you to give the word, but that's... So what you do is you give the word. Don't preach stories. Preach the word of God, because the power is in the word of his power, the power of his word, there. But also he confirms the word with following signs and wonders. Question was this. So do certain preaching messages carry certain signs and wonders? Do they, are they always linked together? Answer, yes. According to that. He worked with them confirming their word. So when you speak that word, he'll confirm it with those signs that follow that word. He'll endorse that word. He'll prove that that word that you spoke is exactly who he is and he does what he does. So when you speak on healing and you bring right scriptures and examples in the Bible, it gives you absolute 100% permission to begin to work and start laying hands on the sick and expect signs and wonders to follow. Because of this, he works with you to do that and he backs up the word. He backs up what you says by demonstrating it, but he works with you. He worked with them. Wow. You can change the whole of this area just by that. So, signs follow the word. Preach the word, signs follow. You can't step back and say, amen, wonderful. I hope you understood the word and God, how God heals. Thank you. And you hand over to the pastor of the church and you step off the platform. You just crashed a meeting. You haven't given any opportunity for the Spirit of God to move. What you need to do is let that be the ramp that takes off and you begin to say, okay, word of knowledge, trusting God that you're going to come pre-healed for, lay hands on them, demonstrate the signs, demonstrate it. Look for physical ailments that cannot move. Demonstrate, show people out there that God moves. Who can't walk, walk. Like in Mozambique, saw, gosh, I don't know how many times, saw a cripple come. Three crippled ladies come and sit where you are, right there. Open air meeting, Chibuto. They cripples came, I thought, thank you, Jesus. Key to the supernatural, right there. Sitting second row, they're wanting help. Over here is a woman who's brought in on a wheelbarrow. Put on a grass mat, she can't move, she's there, she's paralyzed. Can't. Brought around, that's a taxi. So I thought, she's going to see these girls get healed, and her faith is going to grow and she's going to get healed. How do I know that? By faith. Because that's what God wants to do, otherwise it wouldn't happen. Halfway through the message, I said, you man, please come here. She leaves her walking sticks, she staggers forward, she comes and stands in front of me. A young guy sitting where you are, man, he lifts up the stick and says, hey, she needs this. I said, put it down. And she didn't notice it, so she didn't need it. She was standing there. Guys out with their cell phones. And I said, so you're trusting God to be healed? Interpreter, yes, walk with me. Up and down, right in front of that lady. Walk up and down. And I get back around the second time, and I let go her arm, and I stop, and she carries on. She starts running now up and down. The other two ladies that I didn't even pray for that also had walking sticks, abandoned their walking sticks, came and joined in. Guess what? This lady got healed that night and did not go home in a wheelbarrow. So you've got to step by faith. It's that calling out, is calling those things which are not seen, but knowing what God can do. He doesn't confirm the anointing upon you. He uses that anointing to grasp the heart of that person by the way that you speak, so that the word of God inside them explodes and gives light and gives revelation, and they are able to operate and have a personal encounter with the one who is still alive in heaven. Amen. So, the supernatural. Hebrews, Mark 16, going back, let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, how does the word work? Well, this is the principle, 446. Second miracle in the Bible, first is turning water to wine. And this is the second. It's called the second because this is how the word works in people's lives and how it will work in the church as it does now. He came to Cana, to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard, how does faith come? There you go. It's right there. It's right there. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him. What did he do? He went to him. He didn't pray, oh, Jesus, come to me. He said, no, I'm going to him. And he was begging him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus said, unless you people see signs of wonders, you'll simply not believe. What does it mean here? It says, will you believe even if your boy is not in... Can't read my writing. Even if he's not made well, made whole. He says, my word is my word not enough for you? Only believe when you see miraculous signs? Will you only believe when you see miraculous signs, or is my word not good enough for you? So I'm not going to do this for you. I want you to believe the word. That's what he was actually saying. Unless you see signs and wonders, you not believe. But I want to show you something to you that's going to change your life forever. And then he turns around and says, and Jesus said to him, unless you see verse 49, and the royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. He made the same prayer twice. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. Some Bibles say, go your way, your son lives. What is that? The man believed. So what we had first was 47, he heard. Verse 50, he believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and started off. So, hearing, believing, perfect. He believed the word. The power of his word, he believed it. And of course, that Jesus said, that means it's directly what Jesus said. And he went on his way. He started off. So, Bible says, you go your way. How did he start off? Have you ever thought of that? So he's just encountered Jesus. He's royal official. He commanded him, you come down and heal my son. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. You go home. Your son lives. What? It's never happened on earth before. On earth, ever. The man believed the word that he said. Perfect. That's how church happens. We believe God. We hear the word preaching. People believe. Guess what? Now you go your way. You leave Sunday tomorrow. You go your way home. And as he goes down, he meets his servants, and the servants come running up and says, he's healed. And the man asked them, at what hour did they get healed? They said, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the man was healed, the boy was healed. And the man knew. Look at this word. Verse 53, so the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and he himself believed, and his whole household. Evangelism, whole household. He didn't stay quiet. He says, oh my gosh, this is how it works. I went to Jesus. I knew he was there. I went to the source of the power. He told me to go home because you were going to be alive. I believed what he did and I went home knowing that possibly I cannot see the result. I don't know if it's going to be that way or if my whole household is going to be in mourning because they're going to be burying him that night and I failed in what I did. The pressure? Oh yes. But he says, but I know. I want to know, when did he say that same time? Okay, I know, that's true. See, the power of the Word of God, the power of His Word brings change. That's one way that you lay hands on the sick. So when you're praying for people and you're declaring that kind of truth to them, you operate straightly. If you have faith to be healed, come now. You're believing the Word of God. Bang, lay hands on, the power of God comes. Amen? What about the anointing, the flowing of the power of God? Mark chapter 5, how the anointing flows. So my encouragement to you is know the word. Go through every place in the Bible where there's a miraculous sign and a wonder, where he heals people, where the miracles happen. Get those sets of scripture. They're normally number 7 in number. Most of them are 7 verses, or 5 and 2, or 3 or 4. 7 verses. Get them down, learn them, get them ready to preach. Pray over them, live each verse, get them in your book, get them a little backup on the side, and when you go out there, you've got the ammunition to deliver such as he is. And of course, you bring the reason why. He's the cross, he's saved us, he's bled for us, he's healed us. Verse 25, Mark 5:25, you know the scripture. It's the most powerful scripture in the Bible, set of scriptures that Jesus did. Talked about, that brings the explanation of how the anointing or the Spirit of God moves through you. When you receive the Holy Spirit and it doesn't go beyond you, you've received a blessing. Very Catholic, a blessing. But when the Spirit of God goes to you and wants to operate through you, you've received the anointing. It's not for you. The Holy Spirit in you with the fruit of the Spirit is for you. Love, joy, peace, patience, it's for you. The Holy Spirit upon you is not for you, it's for others. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. But some people don't know how to give it. They don't know how to anoint, release it. I often say to people, you get hands laid upon you, you've got 72 hours to release what you have. Because when you release it within 3 days, it'll happen. You'll carry that anointing. Most people say, I don't know how to, and they go home. They lose what they have. Mark 5. A woman who had hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had was not helped at all, but rather grew worse. After hearing, there we go, about Jesus. She didn't go to church. She'd never been to a home cell. She knew nothing about church. She'd been in the sickness and could not be found in public according to the law of Moses because she was unclean. After hearing about Jesus, verse 28, Because she was saying to herself continually, if I touch him and his garments, or if I touch his garments, I will get well. Notice that. She kept saying to herself, she was saying it out loud, not meditating, and she kept on means repeatedly. What is that? Prayer. What was she doing? She was praying her answer before she got there. Because she heard about Jesus. She kept confessing her faith in what was about to happen. She was setting herself up to receive such as he has. You go back to verse 27. Because she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. Verse 29. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. I love the word felt. So, what happened, you can feel. Verse 30. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeded from him, had gone forth, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who has touched me? And he looked around and to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So what happened there? We just kind of read through. So she touched him and added, no, there's something happened. He felt. She felt, he felt. He would perceived. He perceived means he understood. Now, questions we have around this that I ask myself is, was Jesus in a local church when this happened? Where was he? There you go, that's evangelism. Happens out there. Does she know what she's doing and what's happening? No, she had no explanation about anointing. But she knew something, that if she got close to him, she could get what he has. That's faith. Faith pulls you out of the uncomfortable into the place of receiving. She comes up, there's a crowd around them, and none of the crowd is getting what she got. What does that say about her? It says that she was desperate enough to get what he has. Other people were religiously intellectual about who he is, to be with him, to get a favor of some sandwiches and oranges and fish maybe later on today when they're hungry, because that's what they're in it for. It's in it for me. I'm following Jesus for me because he entertains me and I like coming. So a lot of people come to church to be entertained because they're doing the thing that they know they should be doing, but that they get nothing when they leave. Not like this woman. She says, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to come in. I'm not. She breaks the law to get him. More people need to break the law of their own mentality to get what God has. They need to come through ceilings. They need to come and break into a break-in. Defy the natural mentality of a way of life. In worship, you defy what everyone else thinks, and you come up and you are so impressed and worshiping God that you just want more of God. It's not who the musician is or how they're playing or what the song is. You just get here because you're breaking out of the box of mentality of religion. And that's what she did. She came. What was she going to get? I don't know. She just said, I just want to touch him. Says, your faith has healed you, not how you touch me. Excuse me, lady, can you just tell these other guys here? Because she's on the ground preaching to Jesus how and why she got healed. That's what Luke says. She said, tell her, and she began to tell him how and why she got healed. Perfect. She said, well, you know what? These three fingers here, that one, that one, that one. Those three, my nails were painted nicely. I touched you with those three. Hey, you guys, did you hear all that? These three fingers. Whenever you want anything from God, use these three fingers. You get that? Your right hand, that right hand, the other hand. So we're setting up a way of getting healed now. He says, how long did you touch me? Just a second. Guys, it's only a second. So he's not promoting a method. And that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have done. So excuse me. And? You know, CNN News. SABC TV, and all those skunks that never report anything that's true. It's got nothing to do with how. It says, who touched me? I did. And why? Because she felt power. Was she perfect? Had she made the sinner's prayer? Had she been a church attendance? Had she tithed? No. She says, I know. I know. Why? Just because of what I've heard in the wind, I know that when I touch him, I will. Very powerful. And so when you get people that know and they will, they do get healed, and just get people into that place. And when they put a touch them, they place a demand on the anointing, on the power of God, because he is the only one on earth at that time where the anointing and the presence and the power of God was. Zacharias, Caiaphas, whoever was high priest at that time, was doing a traditional ceremony in the temple, but the glory, the light had gone out of the Holy of Holies in the temple and had come into Jesus when he was baptized in water. So they were still in the ritual of doing that, even when the day he got crucified. That's why the curtain tore. He says, guys, I'm just revealing to you exactly you're doing a dead worship. This presence of God is not in the Holy of Holies. There it is. But also, when the Holy Spirit comes back, you'll have full access to me without the temple. You will be torn. Your flesh, your veil is open to heaven. Access to heaven. So the anointing. Sure. Let me give you quickly some pointers here. How does electricity work? Electricity, where does this come from? Don't say Eskom because it's just like, it comes from somewhere. Comes from a source, a dynamo, a powerhouse. It is fed out through copper wires, the best conducting material there is for electricity conducted. It is channeled, it is directed, it is measured, it is transferred and infiltrates every area of society, and it releases what it has when it gets there. Whatever it goes through, it changes. Electricity going through that bulb ignites in a cold light a gas, I think. It illuminates it, and so it's a demonstration of power flowing. It's a manifestation of electricity. If there was no light, there would be no electricity. It releases what it carries. It diversifies in its operation. If there's something there that is more resistant to what it's able to go through, it burns it up. It explodes it. It burns it out. It stops. The anointing of God operates the same way. Where did man learn about electricity? Lightning and thunder. Light and sound. What is God's word? What's the first thing he said on earth? Let there be. And what happened? Manifestation. Same principle as electricity, as thunder and lightning is. So the same manifestation happens with electricity as with the supernatural, the powerhouse of God. Operates the same way. What are the copper wires? What's the source of power? Where is the source of power? It's inside you. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are lit up. You catch a revelation from the Word of God. You are ignited. You carry the substance, the energy that can be transferred, transmitted. It's tangible, transmittable, and transferable. Same thing. But it's a substance. It's what heaven has. It's what earth needs. The substance of things hoped for. The substance is electricity. The substance is carried in handkerchiefs. In Acts 19:12, it is placed inside handkerchiefs. And I'm sure I've preached this here before. So your handkerchief becomes a battery. A battery has a positive and a negative terminal. You put those two together, there's a big flash and the whole thing goes flat. But if you take positive and negative, it turns the generator in your car and it starts. It turns. You harness the power in a certain way to benefit yourself. Positive and negative. So on the cloth that they carried, there was a positive and a negative. When they placed that on the human body, the power of God would go through the body. And if there was sickness or demons, according to Acts 19:12, 13, sickness and demons, the demons would be driven out and the sickness would be burnt out by a handkerchief, by a piece of material. That tells you about the Holy Spirit, the anointing is tangible. It is transferable. Touch the hymn. It's transferable. It is transportable. It is placed on people and heals. Happens in Acts 12. Not Acts 1. Not in the Gospels. Acts 12. Our time. our tongue. So some people say, how can you say that about the Holy Spirit? Well, that's who he is. How do you say that about the Word of God? That's who he is. And so this is given to us. So she knew how to access that. None of these other guys did. Jesus instantly knew when power left him. Let me say this. When the anointing flows, it flows like a river. And you are laying hands on the sick, and you expect that person to be healed, and they have faith to be healed, you will feel the flow of that power of God going through you. You'll feel it. It's there. The person that you're laying hands on will feel in their body the presence and the power of God moving into them. And when you lay hands on, that's why laying hands on, positive, negative, laying hands on. Please, this afternoon, can you come? You can. An example we often have, and you've probably seen it every Sunday, is would you please come and pray for the sick ministry team who are trained to lay hands on the sick? I hope I'm not trashing you guys too much. I don't want to. But the ministry team comes up to them like this, full of power and authority and confidence, and comes up and does this and starts praying for the person. How do you think the person feels? Just, that guy knows what he's doing, huh? Can't even see him, but I hope he knows what he's doing. And you think there's sickness inside there, or if there's a demon thinking, I am really being confronted. Or is the demon saying, that guy's chicken, he's hiding behind. So what you do, especially out there, you come straight in front. Locked and loaded, eyes wide, checking the eyes. Amen? That's called the confrontation. Man of authority, Jesus in the temple, he didn't say, oh, sorry, I'm just going to pray for you. Can you come here, turn around, I'm going to lay hands on you. No, it's front on. This person now says, this guy knows what he's doing, and he's talking to me, looking at me, because I'm noticed, I feel worthy, I have identity, and I'm someone special, and so there's this compassion that's going across, and you say, so what is it that you're trusting God to do for you? You don't say, what's wrong with you? Because when you say what's wrong with you, they tell them what's wrong with them because that's what they know is wrong. And so they're speaking negative. No, come. You say, I know I will be healed. And you keep confessing. That's the thing. So what are you trusting God to do for you? I trust God to heal me of this. Do you believe that? Yes. Bang! They're keeping them into that place of faith. And if you have someone that's wants to be the catcher, why do we have a catcher? Can you just hang there? The reason why we have a catcher or whatever is so that the person that you're praying for doesn't have to worry about, am I going to hit the concrete and bounce about 6 times or hit a pillar like it happened in Zim or landed on a fixed chair in the ground. This lady landed head first on that chair. The chair didn't move. It just bolted to the floor. She bounced off and everyone, the oxygen left the room as everyone went, and she didn't even feel a thing. You see, when the anointing comes, stuff happens. But when you lay hands on the person, you've got someone catching behind. That person in front there says, I can abandon myself wholly to what God wants to do. I don't have to, check. Okay, I can do a courtesy drop, which is, and I've seen that happen. I say, no, stand up. You're going to get the real thing now. So that's why you have the catches. Why? Just so that you or that person, it's not like you have to fall down under the power of God. I encourage people, if you do fall down under the power of God, make sure you get up different to when you fell. Because that's the end result. It's not like, yo, you fell over too. Wow. Tick, diary. At 11:30 in the morning on Sunday. Da-da. And second thing is, if the anointing is transferable, like the handkerchief, she felt the power. If the person standing behind the person that you're laying hands on, guess what? That's going to happen. The person who's catching you is now going to get the transmittance of power. You might go over, or both of you might go over. But even worse is the fact that you're robbing them of the full voltage and the power of heaven. See, the people behind, I say to them often, we say at every meeting almost, keep your hands off, but be ready to catch the person like that. Not like this. Catch them. And if it's a demon manifestation, They'll go down. You don't have to help them. But so when you lay hands on, and I've seen this, said, please take your hands off, and you can sense the power moving. 2 weeks ago, take your hands off, please. Okay, now watch this. So you were diluting the anointing that's there. You've been getting some of the radiation that you don't have. We'll pray for you later, but I want you to have everything. Are you ready? Yes, let's do this again. Lay hands on. Wham! Did you still learn something? Yes, come here. And it's transmittable. Thanks. It's transmittable, it's transferable. That's what Christians carry. Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, and the way you pray, I think Kelly's highlighting that. It's not a long prayer. Jesus, he said to the woman, bend double, it says, woman, you are freed of your infirmity. What is that? I'm an authority here. Whatever's in my sphere of reference is totally illegal to what I say. She stood up, he led and laid hands on her because healing could have been a physical oppression of a demon, which is not sickness. It's a spirit. It's not sickness. It's a spirit. So what gets spirits? What gets demons out of people? What gift? The miraculous. Boom, stands up. Then he prays, lays hands on her so that healing can come. Whatever has caused that for how many years? 18 long years? There's going to be back damage, muscle spasms. Lays hands on her, healed. And she gave glory to God. That's the thing I've noticed. Whenever Jesus prayed for any sick, they gave glory to God, not to Jesus. Can I say this? One of the most important things to do is whoever gets healed needs to turn around instantly, lift their hands and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Not like, thank you, Milim. Thank you, Susie. Thank you, whoever. No, it's got to be a vertical worship and praise. When that happens, that's set. That's set. Jesus said to her daughter, I love that. So any time he ever said that to anyone in the Bible and called them by name, he said, daughter. The other times in the Bible, he said, woman. He never said adulteress, he said woman, but here he said daughter, capital D. In this trance, daughter, your faith has made you well, what you believed. It started off in your confession room and it's manifested in front of us all. You have made us go into peace. That word go in peace is continue in peace and be healed of your affliction. You're continually walking and accessing peace. You maintain your healing. Does that mean people can lose their healing? Yes. You continue to maintain your healing. Amen. The anointing of God. Can you just close your eyes for a sec? I'm fully aware that whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, he shows up. He wants to demonstrate himself. He wants to be here because he says, you're talking about me? His presence is here. I said yesterday, mantles are given by God, but impartation is given from one to another. So if you sense the presence of God on you, you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit on you now, would you come and stand up front? Why? Because you're acknowledging what's happening. You're responding to what he's doing. And when standing up front, don't disengage. Just continue to keep his presence around you, with you. Some of you are sensing the weightiness of his presence on you right now. That's what he's doing. We've been talking about him, opening up how he accesses and comes into our lives. And so what has happened is you have opened your hearts to him and you're sensing his presence and he's upon you. He's upon you for a reason. Because this afternoon when you're out there, you'll need him. You'll continue to carry his presence. So Lord, I thank you for your presence upon every person now, your anointing, your clothing, your dressing, upon every single person. Just need some guys to come. And so Lord, I just thank you for that anointing of your power, a real sense of your raw anointing of power on every person right now. In Jesus' name. And when that power comes, there's also healing right now. Right now. Thank you, Lord. Perfect. You're in the right place. Perfect. I can see the anointing on you. His presence, his weight, his anointing. Those things which you've desired to happen in your lives, to be more effective in the kingdom of God, those gifts that you've been amazed at operating through other people, the reason why you feel so attracted to those kind of gifts operating through other people is because he wants you to begin to do the same thing. That's why he's made it attractive, and he's attracted you to what he wants to do. Whether it's a prophetic and you're so attracted to that, then you need to start operating in that very thing and say, well, how? Well, just guess what? Start. Let an adventure start to begin to happen. I've never laid hands on the sick. I've never felt bones move under my hands, realigning back into position, joints kind of moving around like it's something alive under the skin. And that happens. Guess what? When you do it the first time, you know it's not you. You're so humbled. You know it's not you, because you could not be an orthopedic manipulator of bones, because that's what you're not trained in. But God, through your hands, through you, he has done so. And when that person turns around and says, oh my gosh, what did you do to me? You say, I did nothing. He did it to you. And when that happens, they are changed. You are excited. And you have courage and boldness to continue to function in them more. How do you access more of heaven? Say, God, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you everything, because I want you. Fill me and saturate me completely. Let me be absorbed in you, not you in me. I want to be in you. In you. Lord, I pray that the word of God in every person's life, when they read it again, would explode with fresh revelation, drip with the honey of heaven. Ignite our hearts and passion, that when we read it, we may have read the same scriptures so many times, but it's this day, when you read them, oh my gosh, what happened? Something else has unfolded, been revealed, uncovered. New revelation, new life. Don't disengage. I want the presence of God in you to be real, with no man in between. No man in between. No flesh intervening. You and him. You've taken this time out today, last night. You've given time. You have a right to access him. You're here. Others didn't come. You're here. Even in your seats, God is touching you. Fire of God. The fire of his presence. It's who he is. It's who he is. God, every single one of you have lifted your hands. Awesome. Because those are the weapons of heaven. That's why he said the kingdom of God's at hand. Not only is it present, it's at hand, it's here. But he uses human hands. The kingdom of God, the power of heaven, at hand, your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that every single one of us here sees people from this day on the way you see them. The way you see them. Because when we have your love, you can demonstrate who you are through us. Because it's your love that changes. Your love that changes. Every weight, every hindrance, every encumbrance or whatever that is in your lives are nothing compared to what he is and who he is. Stop giving those things attention. Start giving him all your attention. And those things will fade. The mountain gets big. Depending on how long you look at it, it just seems to increase in size because that little molehill has now got dominance in your mind and terrifies you. Jesus says, just speak to the mountain and it shall be removed. The power's in the tongue. The power's in your mouth, not your arm, not your mental intellect of how you can get around this thing, over this thing, or through this thing. Jesus says, whatever it is, you just talk to it and tell it and command it to go. Cease. It's the way you handle sickness. It's the way you handle everything else in life. That's how God says. You speak to it. Life and death and the power of the tongue. Is there any prophetic word here? Thank you, Lord. Is anyone suffering from a kidney disease? Having a trouble with a kidney? You? Come. Kelly's going to lay hands on you. Come, Cal. Thank you, Lord. Dylan. Okay.
Thank you, friends. So we'll close now. Keir has some books that he would like to distribute. So Plus, we might have enough for everyone. We were going to give to the pastors and leaders. We don't know who they are specifically, people that are ministering. But anyway, what I wanted to share, someone made these for us. They're handkerchiefs that were made. I think Bas and Ursula did these for the very purpose of laying hands on people and who are sick. And so they left them here, and one day they shared a testimony at the prayer meeting about a guy who they knew who had cancer in remission, and it came back, and he was in a bad state. He knew the symptoms and so on. So we prayed over one of these and we sent it with them to him, and the news came back when he went for his next test that he was clear, and God did a miracle. So it's exactly what Keir is saying about the power of God's transmissible. So these are here, just so you know. You know, somebody who needs prayer, we can pray over these. Power of God will be transportable in the battery and then taken to them. So let's just close. And this afternoon, Tembo, do you want to share a little bit just quickly about where we're going and what this afternoon will look like? And then we'll just have something to eat. Timber's the guy who's been looking after all of the preparations on the soccer field and for the sunroom connection, and he's got a home group working there with a whole lot of young guys. So.
Hi, family. Okay, I'm Timber. I'm residing in Sunway. Sunway consists of 1,600 houses. Sunway is a loud community and is full of drug addicts, drug lords, prostitution, everything you can mention. So if you go there, you come with the authority, as he said. So the soccer is starting at 1 o'clock just to bring people in the ground. But we start there at 3 o'clock. With the men's soccer, yes. So after the match, then you start praying for the people. So I think there's a house next to me there. I talked to the guys where the drug addicts, they stay in there. So they say they are welcome to come and pray for them there after we did everything.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Just explain how you get there.
Oh, no, there's,
So, thanks, Temba. So I can send you a pin to the location. So definitely by 3 o'clock, the main match will be happening. We've got a soccer kit for the winning team. So it's been a bit of a motivation that we've got these two teams, and whoever wins is going to get this. This whole like kit, you know. So it's really simple in the sense of where to go, because you literally are on the Vanderhoof Road, and as you know, you get to that big three-way stop where the bumps are. You turn right and you go down that road, and the second road to your left, you turn left, and then first road to the left, and you go up that road, and then you'll see the soccer field. But I will send you a pin. So you just need to come to me and say, I need the pin, and I will send it to you. Okay. We'll be meeting there from 3 o'clock. They'll play the soccer game. We'll then have like a bit of a presentation to the winning team. Hopefully by then we'll have some people gathered, and then there will be a preach and a declaration. And so if you guys can be around there, obviously interceding, prepared to just minister over people, just start conversations. I'm so excited to hear that some of the kids are coming, because it's a great way to interact with people, especially through kids. So guys, just come like prepared for heat and lots of dust. So you're not going in your Sunday best. You know, have your tackies on, have a sun hat, have some sunscreen, and have your water. There's no shade, so it's going to be hot. So don't whine about it. It is just what it is. Okay. And just be enthusiastically there and be bold and brave. Don't cower.
Okay. Thank you, Kay and Kelly. So tomorrow we'll be having a service here again. Kay and Kelly are with us for the whole weekend. So 9 o'clock tomorrow, 9:30, be with us. But join us this afternoon. The idea of today and last night was preparation for hands-on. Hands-on. Okay. Let's just pray. And thank you to the ladies and Jane especially for preparation of all the foodies we're going to enjoy. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your goodness to us as we just share this meal. Bless it to our bodies, those that have been preparing. And we commit this afternoon to you, Lord. We're trusting for souls. We're trusting for healings. We are expecting great things, miracles, Lord, to take place in people's lives. Transformation will happen in Sunway this afternoon. We rebuke the devourer. We stand against the enemy. You have no right or authority. But we speak to the principalities and powers, and we command in the name of Jesus, they will have no influence over what happens today. Lord, have your way. Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends.